Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and happy Friday. Welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you caught up before the weekend on all the news you should know about. Today, three restaurants in Lackawanna County have joined a dementia-friendly dining initiative. And the federal government rolls back regulations on forever chemicals while giving Pennsylvania funding to address their effects on drinking water. It's Friday, May 22nd. Let's get you up to date. We'll start off with a trip to Pasquale's restaurant in Archbald. Age-friendly Lackawanna's dementia-friendly dining initiative includes three area restaurants: A Little Pizza Heaven in Scranton, Taylor Deli, and Pasquale's. The restaurants support customers who may have dementia, as well as their caregivers. WVIA's Lydia McFarlane reports.
Daryl Bartlett owns A Little Pizza Heaven. He opened the restaurant with his wife, Toni Serra, in 2006. In 2023, she was diagnosed with dementia.
I'm telling you, my wife would do it in a heartbeat. She would help anybody with anything at any time. So the least I can do is do it for someone else.
Staff train with age-friendly Lackawanna to become dementia-friendly. They learn to limit choices for customers with dementia, walk them to exits or bathrooms, and more. The initiative is also a way to reach caregivers with aging resources. Mike Castellano works at the United Way of Lackawanna, Wayne, and Pike counties.
Well, it's like little pockets of respite. Maybe it's an hour or going out to eat somewhere where you know that it's a little more accommodating and that the environment's going to be a little easier. We've understood that you can't tackle it all at once. You have to chip away at it. And so you have these little initiatives that help do that.
Brothers Tony and Giovanni Sacco own Pasquale's in Archibald. Their grandmother had dementia, and many of their customers are older adults. Tony says it's a way to better serve their community.
Almost 17 years that I've been doing this, I always felt that inclusivity is the cornerstone of hospitality. You have people from every walk of life coming through your door.
Castellano wants at least 15 restaurants to get involved by the end of the year, and he directs interested restaurants to fill out the interest form on the age-friendly website. In Archbald, I'm Lydia McFarlane, WVIA News.
Thanks, Lydia. Find the full story at WVIA.org. Now let's talk about forever chemicals. In the same week, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced that it would give Pennsylvania nearly $40 million to address PFAS contamination in drinking water. The agency also said it would roll back PFAS regulations. Julie Grant reports for WVIA.
The group of chemicals called PFAS are used in everything from stain-proof rugs to firefighting foam. They're called forever chemicals because they accumulate in waterways and the human body and are linked to some cancers. This week, the EPA announced that Pennsylvania would get $39 million as part of a $5 billion five-year effort to address PFAS contamination in small and disadvantaged communities. At the same time, EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced that the agency will repeal Biden-era limits on some types of PFAS in drinking water and extend the deadline for others. Steve Huzdovich is with the nonprofit Clean Water Action in Pennsylvania.
It feels like a real hypocrisy here to say, we're going to give you money to deal with this threat from a toxic chemical, but at the same time, we're going to roll back protections.
Huzdovich wants the state to toughen its own PFAS standards. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
We report to you. Subscribe to the WVIA News Notes e-newsletter for the latest from the news team. Visit wvia.org/news and click on the subscribe button to receive the newsletter every Tuesday and Friday morning.
Welcome back. Well, it's finally Friday, and that means it's time for Community Connection with WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella.
Giving back to the Berwick area when times are hard has been a generational theme for Elliot Molesky, president of the Hope Center of Neskopek. The nonprofit was a former lumber yard, but still manages to maintain its original purpose, serving as a place to build up in a slightly different way. Elliot Molesky takes the story from here.
Under our roof, we have a food ministry that gives out food once a month for people who register ahead of time, and a free clothing ministry. And also we have one called the Good Neighbor Project that has medical supplies, also the Household Essentials Ministry. And that one is something like if you were to have an apartment fire and say you needed anything like tables and chairs down to silverware, whatever we have that people donate, let us know what you need and we'll give you what we have. And then besides that, just newly actually, we revamped one. It's called the Handyman Ministry. So if you're over 65 and in that Berwick School District range there, you can call us and anything you might call a handyman for. Minor home repairs is the idea.
So what got you interested in going into the nonprofit realm?
Well, a lot of it was influence of my dad. He was a minister in Neskopek for about 20 years. After he passed away in 2019, for a little while, kind of stayed away because it was, you know, just odd and weird to go in the building where we'd done so much work together. And then about 2 years ago, Tangie, who answers our phones, she's our one employee. She's a real sweetheart. She was the one that basically talked me into coming back a little sooner than I would have thought. It was a great conversation with her. So I came back and I approached the board at the time and just said, you know, would you mind terribly if I just, you know, had a role on the board or was just, you know, here? And now after a couple of years and just a few changes, some people retiring that had been there for a long time, then they decided to make me the president, which is still getting used to.
You have divided it up into different types of things that people can go in as far as what they need. Mm-hmm. So tell us about what we can expect if we happen to go to the pantry.
If you were to come for the pantry, register and then drive up and then a little box comes down a conveyor and then some nice folks hand it to you. Say you were to come to get clothing, you walk in the doors and then you know, you sign your name and grab a bag and if anything fits you, you know, you can grab that. That's the main two things you would to actually come into the building would either be the food pantry or the clothing ministry.
You are also setting a section of your space for crutches and wheelchairs and walkers.
Mm-hmm. And even hospital beds. And it's whatever we have donated, we'll give away if you're in need of it.
You were telling me earlier that when your father passed away, it was very difficult for you to go into the center. You stayed away for about 7 years. Mm. How does it feel going in on a daily basis, knowing that you're helping so many people?
It feels great, honestly. I did pause for a little bit after he passed. I would say he passed in 2019, so I probably got back in there about 2024. Now that all that's settled enough in my head, it's been really impactful to go in and help and just to see the kind of the fruits of all these wonderful volunteers' labor.
You know, you talked about your father's ambition and how he sort of laid the groundwork, but now you have an opportunity to continue the path. Mm-hmm. So do you have any ideas or kind of new things that you would like to see happen to the mission?
The kitchen would really help because, you know, any house isn't really a home unless you have a kitchen. Not just this warehouse where you just show up and you get something and you leave, but you get this opportunity to just really sit and minister with either the people that come in and are in need of something or the people that are volunteering. And it would just sort of be the first thought in people's mind. It would essentially be this little heart of the community and that it wouldn't just be a warehouse.
Special thanks to Elliot Molesky, president of the Hope Center in Neskopek. Hear more of the story on our podcast at wvia.org/community. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
All right, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the weekend. Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for listening this week. We're back on Monday, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss anything. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you next week, right here on Up to Date.